Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Psalm. I'd like to read from the 11th Psalm, Psalm 11, the first three verses. I encourage you to go home and read the entire Psalm, but we'll be looking primarily at the first three verses this morning, Psalm 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I want us to think this morning primarily that third verse of Scripture, where the question is asked, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I would declare to you this morning that there are many, many foundations that have already been destroyed in the land in which we live. There are foundations that were laid by our founding fathers. They laid foundations that we have moved those foundations. The Word of God says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." That's the same thing as the foundations being destroyed. We have removed the ancient landmarks. We have changed things that were evil. We now call them good. And the things that were good, we now call evil. But I want you to know that there are foundations, even though there are many foundations that have been destroyed and other foundations are being destroyed, there are foundations that cannot be destroyed. I want us to first look at that. I want you to see that when God lays foundations, that the man, in all of his efforts and labors, the man cannot destroy the foundations that God lays. Go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. You'll see here that there is a foundation that God laid. That foundation is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He's the sure foundation. He's the solid foundation. He is the permanent foundation. And He cannot be destroyed, altered, moved. He cannot in any way be affected. Though all the world despise Jesus Christ, that foundation cannot be moved. In Isaiah chapter 28, listen please to verses 16 and 17. We're looking at a sure foundation, a foundation that cannot be moved, cannot be destroyed. Scripture says in Isaiah 28 and verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone." Now, who laid that foundation stone? Who laid this foundation? the Lord God laid the foundation. He says, I, the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The New Testament makes it clear that this is talking about none other than Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, and that's the foundation that God laid for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a chief cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He talks about this foundation that God laid, and I want you to know that's a foundation that cannot be destroyed. See, the question that we're looking at from Psalm 11 and verse 3 is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And though there are foundations that have been and are being destroyed, I want us to know that one of the things that the righteous can do is that they can rejoice that there are foundations that cannot be destroyed. And that one foundation that we looked at just now is Jesus Christ. The Word of God also tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that we're not going to turn and read all these scriptures. I'll give you a list of scriptures if you would like to read about the sure foundations that God has laid. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God tells us about how Abraham was looking for a city. Remember in Hebrews 11 how he went out not knowing where he was going. God told him to leave his father and his kindred, and he went out not knowing where he went. And the scripture says in Hebrews 11 that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now that city which hath foundations is a city which cannot be moved. Hebrews 12 tells us, seeing that we have the kingdom of heaven. We have this kingdom of heaven which cannot be moved. We have this solid foundation in the kingdom of heaven. We have a city which cannot be moved, because that city, the builder of that city, is God Himself. So we have the foundations that cannot be moved, and those foundations are laid by God. Now all the foundations that men lay, those foundations can change. They're laid by men, and they can be moved by men. Men laid the foundations of what is right and what is wrong in America. The laws of our land were based on the Word of God when our land began to be established. And one by one, the laws of our land had a clear, thus saith the Lord, for what is right and what is wrong. And recent years, especially in the past 40 years, since 1963, there have been major changes in our land. The Supreme Court has overruled the desires of the people. The Supreme Court has removed the foundations that were laid by our founding fathers. The foundations of a nation can be destroyed. The foundations of a church, a local church body, though that church might have originally been built on a thus saith the Lord and the principles of God's Word, the foundations of a church can be moved, and a church can vote to change its principles and its beliefs and its actions. And a church then, once it moves those foundations and the foundations are destroyed, the question is asked, what can the righteous do? And likewise in homes today, the foundations of what a home ought to be, what husbands ought to be, and what wives ought to be, what parents are supposed to be, what children are supposed to do. All of that is set forth in the Word of God. We have a sure foundation for a home and a family that cannot be destroyed, set forth in the Word of God. But we have moved those foundations. And all the principles of righteousness that are in the Word of God, we now are moving those foundations in personal lives, in the homes, and in the churches, and in our land. Those foundations are being destroyed. Now I'm asking you now this question, what can the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Turn there just a moment to Luke chapter 6. And let's see what the Word of God tells us about the foundations. I want everybody here. Listen, brethren, sometimes the people of God, when they see the foundations being destroyed, sometimes they think and they wonder, what reason is there to continue? I'll tell you, there's something that the righteous can do when the foundations are being destroyed. There's something for you to do, and there's something for me to do when the foundations are being destroyed. Luke chapter 6. There's something for you to do in your personal life. There's something for you to do in your home. There's something for you to do in the church. You remember way back there in the Old Testament. Do you remember when Jerusalem was destroyed and the foundations and the walls and the buildings were all torn down? And in the middle of all that rubbish, do you remember how in Ezra and Nehemiah, those two books talk about the rebuilding? Was there something that the righteous could do when those foundations were destroyed? Was there something that God burdened the righteous to do when that temple had been destroyed and the city had been destroyed? The righteous began to build again. The first thing they had to do before they could build again, I want you to understand, there was rubbish, there were stones, there was rocks, there was burned debris everywhere. And the first thing they had to do before they could begin to build again was they had to remove all the rubbish. Well, brethren, there's a lot of rubbish going around today. Even in the religious world, I hear people talking about things that are nowhere in the Word of God. And they're using a lot of rubbish. It's the devil using that rubbish to confuse the people of God. And when there is so much rubbish, you can't even see where the foundations used to be. And so the first thing that you and I, as the people of God, when we want to restore the foundations that have been destroyed, the first thing we need to do is we need to look at what God's Word says, and anything that's stated, any work that is not based on of thus saith the Lord, any belief that's not based on of thus saith the Lord, that's rubbish, and that rubbish needs to go away. And it's up to you and I. Here's what the righteous can do. The righteous need to get rid of the rubbish and not tolerate the rubbish. Had someone this past week that was so worried about somebody dying and going to hell because he couldn't get him to pray a sinner's prayer. I finally asked him, I said, where in the Word of God do you find that sinner's prayer? I want you to know, brethren, we've come up with all these schemes and devices that we think are going to save people from eternal hell to eternal heaven. We've got this idea and that idea that's going to save them. It's a lot of rubbish that's completely, it's a foundation of sand. It's a foundation that is no foundation at all. It's a foundation that's based on the thinking of men. And you start asking people today, what does a person have to do in order to be saved eternally from eternal hell? And they'll tell you one thing and another, and they keep adding all this rubbish that's not in the Word of God. And it's up to you. Here's something for the righteous to do. When you want to do something about the foundations that have been destroyed, you begin to ask people, where is that in the Word of God? When they tell you what you've got to do, you just say, tell me, where does the Bible say that? You begin to ask questions. That's something that the righteous can do to help people see that all these things they're saying, all these things they're doing, it's a lot of rubbish, and it's based on a foundation of sand. We teach the doctrines of men as if they are the Word of God. And then when you say, well, what about children that die? They haven't done what you've told them to do. They haven't done what you said you have to do to be saved. What about all those children? And then they say, well, they haven't reached the age of accountability. You know what I say? Rubbish! Where is that in the Word of God? Show me that in the Word of God. And that's what the righteous can do. When all this rubbish is being spread around, all these the foundations of truth have been destroyed. The foundations of truth have been covered up with all the rubbish. You and I, the righteous, those that want to do what's right, you need to declare to people, that's rubbish. Now, you don't have to say it quite that boldly, but you do need to ask the people, where is that found in the Word of God? Show me where it talks about the age of accountability. Show me where it talks about so much that's going on in the religious world today. People running to here and there and fro, trying to do this, that, and the other to save people from eternal hell. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus has already done that. Now, there's a lot of work for the people of God to do, and we need to build on that foundation. But I'll tell you, brethren, once we understand the fundamental doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace, once those foundations are laid, we need to build on that foundation. And one of the problems that many churches have had in years gone by is that they have laid those foundations, the fundamental doctrines of salvation by grace, they've laid those foundations, and they haven't built on those foundations. Brethren, those foundations are laid in the Word of God, and you and I are taught to build on those foundations. And in order to build on those foundations that God has laid, we need to know what God's Word says we're supposed to be doing to build on those foundations. Don't come up with your own idea and your own way. When a church is needing money, when a church thinks it needs money, I'll tell you, brethren, there's a lot of rubbish going around today about how churches ought to raise money. It's rubbish because it's not based on a thus saith the Lord. It may look good. It may sound good. It may sound like, well, that's a great idea. I'll tell you, brethren, you need to find out, is that what God's Word says about the way money is to be brought in the house of God? If a church is composed of members, they're not bringing in their tithes and offerings, and that church is lacking money, that church will not be fixed by coming up with worldly ways to raise money. You need to deal with the problem of covetousness and greed among the members of the body. You need to get back to what God's Word says is the way that the church is to have money. And don't come up with the devices of men. Don't come up with a bunch of rubbish. Get right back to the foundation that's given to us in the Word of God. Luke chapter 6 now. Look at Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. The Word of God says this, Luke 6, 46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There are a lot of God's dear children that call Him Lord, and they're doing a lot of things. But the question Jesus asks is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We're much more willing to follow the devices of men than we are to follow Jesus. We're much more willing to do what men come up with as ideas than to just get back and do what the Word of God says. Because really, brethren, there are a lot of things the Word of God says to do that are very, very difficult to do. They're very painful sometimes. They hurt sometimes. They offend sometimes. And that's the reason that many of His disciples turned back and walked no more with Him, was because of the hardness of His sayings. Well, don't stop teaching the hard sayings of Christ just because people leave. Don't start compromising. Don't start getting away from the foundations. If they don't want to build on the solid rock, let them go. God will add to His church. God will add to His church. The Lord will add to His church. All the church has to do is build on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. All the church has to do is do what Jesus said. All the church has to do is preach what the Bible says. And Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47, He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house, a built-in house, and digged deep. You know what he's getting rid of when he's digging deep? You know what he's getting rid of? He's getting rid of the rubbish that's between him and the solid rock. You cannot build the church. You cannot add to the church. You cannot make a successful church. You cannot do anything that's right except you first. And by the way, you can't build the church or make the church successful anyway. But the church will be successful and the church will be built by God when the people of God dig down deep and lay the foundation on a rock. You know what that rock is? That rock is already there. You didn't put the rock there. The rock was already there. Who put that rock there? God laid that rock. And the rock's down there. But you got to get rid of the rubbish. You got to dig down deep. And when the flood, he built it on that rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Did you know the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ? Did you know that this church, nor any other church that is earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that church will not die. It cannot be killed as long as the people of God are adhering to the foundation that God laid and building the things that God says to build on that foundation. Verse 49 says, but he that heareth what? Heareth what? Heareth his saying. Heareth the sayings of the Lord. Heareth the word of God. But he that heareth and doeth not. Doesn't want to do what the Lord said. What did he rather do? Let's do what pleases everybody. Let's do something to attract people. Let's come up with devices to get people into the church. Let's have all these different activities to try to get young people involved. I'll tell you, brethren, I'll put the young people in this church against any young people anywhere. They love the Word of God. They're interested in the Word of God. They study the Word of God. They love the truth of God's Word. And I thank God for parents that are teaching their children the Word of God. And they're learning what the foundations are. And I pray that these young people will always hold on to that firm foundation. Does it make you happy to hear children speaking the truth from God's Word? I don't know of anything that makes me happier than to hear the young people participating in our Bible studies on Wednesday nights, to hear them answer the questions. It's one of the most beautiful things in all the world to me. Little children can sit and hear the Word of God, and they can just summarize it. You know how that happens? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can take somebody that can't even pass the first grade and bless them to hear the Word of God. The Spirit of God can take somebody that's a doctor, has a doctorate degree, and confound him to where he can't understand anything in the Word of God. We need to dig down deep. We need to get away of the rubbish. By the way, there's rubbish in all of our homes. Oh, it's easy to sit around here and talking about churches that aren't getting rid of the rubbish, but I'll tell you what, there's rubbish in my house and your house. There's rubbish there. You know what will happen if you've got rubbish between you and the rock? You know what will happen if you've got rubbish between your home and the rock? The way it's expressed in Matthew 7 is the rains will descend and the floods will come and the wind will blow and beat upon that house and that house will fall. The way it's expressed here in Luke 6 is if you don't dig down to the rock and build on that rock, if you don't get rid of the rubbish, then the way it's expressed is the stream did beat vehemently. Most of you probably haven't ever seen, we have a little creek. A little creek called Reeves Creek on some land we have up in Thomaston, Georgia. And did you know me and my grandchildren go up there and we can wade across that little creek, and it's just a little creek. Most places it's ankle deep. There's waterfalls and rocks and shoals and beautiful place just to walk around out there. But you let it come about 3 or 4 inches of rain, and you go down to that little creek. And did you know that you, nor I, nor any man in this building has the ability to cross that creek? I've watched a neighbor build a beautiful dock down there because he didn't know what happens when big rains come. Built a beautiful dock, spent a lot of money. And you know what happened when the rain came? It washed that dock completely away. Destroyed it. You know what happens to many families today? Many families that sometimes think they're following God, following God's Word. They see a vision from the Lord. The Lord has spoken to them. It's a God thing. Oh, it's the Lord leading. But the Lord's leading, the Lord they're following, is leading contrary to the Word of God. That's not the Lord of heaven and earth. That's not the God of the Bible. And the rain and the winds and the floods will come and that house will fall. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look, please, in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians 3. We're talking about if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, for we are laborers You know what we're supposed to be? You know what a laborer is? I used to hire, well, I still do. I sometimes hire laborers. A laborer is somebody that gets out and works and does menial tasks. I'm not physically able to do a lot of those things now, so I hire laborers to do those things for me that I can't do. Those laborers, most of them, they get minimum wage. If they do, I tell them first day, I said, I'll pay you $7, $8 an hour if you do just kind of so-so, and you'll work for me one day, or maybe a half a day. I'll pay you $9 or $10 an hour if you do a good job. I may pay you $12 or $15 an hour if you do an excellent job. Your pay is based on what I think you're doing. Does that make sense? But they're laborers. How many of you want to be a laborer? Brother John, don't you want all your children to grow up and all of them be laborers? I don't want my children to be laborers. But I'll tell you what. If they have to be laborers, to be honest, if that's the best job they can get, if that's the best job they can do, as long as it's honest and upright before God, I would be more pleased with my children being laborers at minimum wage or less than minimum wage than I had for them to be making $100,000 a year and compromising on God, God's Word, and the foundation. Because you know what will happen? The house will fall. House will fall. And you know what will happen to those that are laborers, that are just being honest and serving the Lord, working hard? You know what will happen? The rains will come, the winds will blow, the floods will come and beat upon that house, and it won't fall because it's founded on the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, who laid this foundation? Nope. Read it again. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Apostle Paul. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I'm asking you this question. In your homes, are you supposed to lay a foundation in your home? And what is the foundation that you're supposed to lay in your home? Jesus Christ. And is this church supposed to lay a foundation and have a pin and a mark and a landmark and says, we will not move from this? What is that foundation that we're supposed to be laying and established on? That foundation is Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that Paul said, I laid this foundation. He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, but he's not saying you can't lay any other kind of foundation, but he's saying you can't lay a foundation that's going to last except that foundation be Jesus Christ. Can you lay other kinds of foundations? Are there other foundations that are laid? Are there churches that are not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are there churches that are not built on the Word of God? Are there families that are not built on Jesus Christ? Are there families that are not following God's Word? We better take heed, even when we lay the foundation, we better take heed how we build. And we're supposed to be laying a foundation, we're supposed to be building. Let me just say this in closing. Question is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me give you a couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 14, the Word of God tells us about Herod. Herod had taken his brother's wife. She was married to his brother. They divorced, and Herod took his brother's wife, and they didn't have scriptural grounds for divorce, and he took his brother's wife, and you know what he did? He laid everything in his family on what? What kind of foundation? Sandy foundation. Well, you know, the whole law of the land changed then. It was all right then. You know, Herod could do it. Anybody else could do it. That's what's happened in America today. We've come up with no-fault divorce, and everybody just divorcing. And let me tell you something, brethren. There was a righteous man when Herod destroyed that foundation about the marriage. There was a righteous man. What did the righteous man do? The righteous man went right up to Herod and said, it is not lawful for you to have her. Did it matter whether or not Herod was a member of the church? Did it matter whether or not Herod had been born again? None of that had anything to do with what John the Baptist did. He saw a man that was destroying the foundations. What can the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? They need to go and try to rectify the situation. You need to work hard to get rid of the rubbish and reestablish the foundation on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It's up to you. Do you believe the foundations are being destroyed in America today? Do you believe the foundations have virtually been destroyed in America today? Has the foundation been destroyed? Now, if the foundation's been destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, there's nothing we can do. The federal government won't give us money if we don't do it their way. What can the righteous do? Hey, the righteous don't have to participate in the ungodly organization. I pray that God will help us to understand that anything that's going on that's wrong, there's something you can do. If the foundations are being destroyed, do something. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians. I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Now, I want us to look tonight. There are a lot of different things that we could look at in those verses, but the main thing I want us to look at is in verse 15. After he said in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." The main thing I want us to think about is the fact that there are many times that the people of God are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And it is very important that the people of God understand that when we are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, it's important that we understand that we have a great responsibility to shine as lights in the world. The only way that the world will ever know right from wrong, the only way that the world will ever see the light that's taught to us as the people of God, is when we as the people of God, next verse, verse 16 says, "holding forth the word of life." It's when the people of God are faithful in holding forth the word of life. It's when the people of God are shining as lights in the world, they can have a profound influence on the world, and the world can see the light shining in their lives. I want us to begin tonight by looking at the fact that there is a wicked, we are living in a crooked and perverse nation. Right now in the United States of America, there's no better way to describe our nation than a wicked, a crooked, and a perverse nation. Any time that a nation has such despising of God and His name, you know that you can speak in the name of Allah and Buddha and all the other gods of this world, there's only one name that is hated by the government of the United States of America, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. The one true and living God is despised in our nation, and that's just one of many evidences that we're living in a crooked and perverse nation, is the fact that we despise God and we despise His name. Our nation despises the Word of God. They despise the Bible. Some 40 or 50 years ago, The Bible was taken out of classrooms, and people don't want to hear the Word of God. That's a crooked and perverse nation that is not interested in what God has to say in His Word. The people of God in this world, in our nation specifically, in this crooked and perverse nation, this world hates those that would hold forth the word of light. They hate those that are shining as lights in the world. The people in this nation have, by our apathy, we have allowed ungodliness to take over our nation to such a degree that we have legalized the shedding of innocent blood. We have legalized homosexuality. We have legalized abortion. We have legalized sodomy. And any sin that's found in the Word of God, we have basically legalized all ungodliness in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. Now, in the midst of all of that, we're supposed to be shining as lights in the world. No matter how dark the world gets, no matter how wicked the world is, you and I are supposed to be different. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. I think that the Word of God there gives a picture of what it is that causes a nation to become a crooked and perverse nation. The Word of God gives a step-by-step, a chronological order of what leads to a nation getting worse and worse and worse. You see a steady decline. You see that when this prevails, this particular sin, then that leads to another sin, and that leads to God eventually turning over a people to a reprobate mind. And I'm not talking about people who are not among the redeemed family of God. If you'll follow this carefully in Romans chapter 1, we're talking about people that have been born of the Spirit of God, and people who have known God, and people who have known the Word of God, and they have held the truth of God's holy Word, and yet they have turned their backs. I'm talking about children of God who have held the truth and have had the blessed privilege of having the truth about God and His Son revealed to them, and yet they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and you'll see here step by step what leads to a nation being what is described in Philippians 2:15 as a crooked and a perverse nation. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God says, "For the wrath of God," and let me say this about every wicked, every crooked, every perverse nation that has ever been on the face of this earth, God never allows a nation to become crooked and perverse and wicked without God bringing His judgments on that nation. God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And God holds the people of God in that nation accountable for whether or not they're going to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And when you and I are not shining, when there's not a marked, clear difference in my life and the world, whenever the world is satisfied to have me in their presence, whenever the world can be complacent for me to be around, and when I can be complacent to be around the ungodliness of this world, then I have ceased to shine as light in this world. Romans 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," watch this phrase now, listen carefully, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, do you know that the only people of God who have ever held the truth, the only people of God who have ever known the truth, are those that are born of the Spirit of God, and God has revealed the truth to them, and yet then they turn their backs on God. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what does God say He does when the people of God hold the truth in unrighteousness? It says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, For God hath showed it unto them. Do you hear clearly how God is specifically declaring that He, God, has shown them these truths? They know the truth. And then He says in verse 24, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, brethren, there are so many phrases, we don't have time to look at every one of these phrases that clearly identify we're talking about born-again children of God. But one of the last phrases that's given there is that their foolish heart was what? Their foolish heart was darkened. Did you know the only person that's ever had a heart that was full of light is a born-again child of God? The only person whose heart can be darkened is a child of God whose heart has had the light of God shining in it. And their foolish heart was darkened because, he says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, did they know God? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I would ask you about our nation today. Are we glorifying Him as God? Are we giving glory to God, or are we denying God and rebelling against God? I believe that we are rebelling against God. We are in the midst of exactly what is being described here in Romans chapter 1. And our foolish hearts, the people of God in America who have turned their back on God, their foolish hearts have been darkened. The next verse, verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One of the expressions that God makes in the Old Testament about His people, He says, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. We have gotten so smart in America today that we think that we know more than God Himself. We become such an enlightened age that we think we know more than what is right that is set forth in the Word of God. And now the Word of God says here that we professing ourselves to be wise, we became fools. Verse 23 says, and we changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, that means because of what's just been described, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, where had they been? They had been clean. Had they had light? Yes, they had had light. Had they had knowledge? Yes, they had had knowledge. They had had everything that a born-again child of God could have. They were without excuse. And then the Scripture says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Did you know that's what's being done throughout America today? Is the truth of God is being turned into a lie. By churches, by so-called churches today, the truth of God is being turned into a lie. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Listen, brethren, it's a shame and a disgrace when the people of God worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And brethren, that creature can apply to man himself, or it can apply to all the animals and the birds in this world. And I believe with all of my heart, it's clear as it can be, that our nation values the birds of this air. They value eagles far more than they value human beings. They value whales, they value porpoises, they value turtles, they value anything in this world more than they value human beings. Now that's a crooked and perverse and wicked nation. Now, are we supposed to just hang our heads and say, oh, what a horrible nation we live in? That's not what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, he says, we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And that though we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing what? Shining as lights in the world. You're supposed to be different. If the world can't look at you and see that you are completely different, if your life just kind of blends in with the world, if you're like a chameleon, and when you're around some people that you're going to blend in with them, it doesn't matter how ungodly they're living, they can feel comfortable around you because you're not going to open your mouth about their ungodliness. Listen, when that happens, you are not shining as lights in the world. You have conformed your life to the world. You have sacrificed the truth of God's Word, and you are no longer shining as lights in the world. We as the people of God will be destroyed more severely than those who have not known the way of righteousness when God brings His wrath upon our nation. He says in verse 25, "You change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever." Verse 26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Did you know in the United States of America now, people, men marrying men having civil ceremonies with men, they get the same kind of benefits that any other married couple gets in America. It is an abomination in the sight of God. We have become as wicked and corrupt as Sodom and Gomorrah were, and God destroyed them with brimstone and fire. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge..." We're just going to stop here and we're going to talk about the Braves. How many of you know the standing of the Braves right now? The Atlanta Braves. How many of you know the standing? Nobody? Okay. Brother Ken does. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hands are beginning to go up. Well, some people do. Those of you that are not interested in the Braves, tell me what you are interested in. Brother John, name something you are interested in the world. Okay, University, of course. We've got several people that are very interested in the University of Georgia. Others that are Florida Gator fans. We have all different kinds of things. Gardening, hunting, fishing. Deer season's about to start. We've got all these things we're interested in. And we don't like to retain God. We don't like to keep God foremost in our minds. What do we like to fill our minds with? Fill our minds with the things of the world. And the scripture says here in verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication." Did you know fornication is about as accepted today as normal marriages are? Fornication. People having sexual relations outside the bonds of matrimony. It's very much accepted today. I have a dear preacher friend that I ask you to pray for him because he took a stand just a couple of weeks ago and he told a couple that came to him who are living together and that they wanted him to marry them. And he said, "No, I will not marry you." And they said, "That's all right. We found another preacher that would. We figured you wouldn't, so we've got another preacher that would. We just want you to mark these dates down that we're going to use the church that day." He says, "No, you're not going to use the church that day to get married in the church. If you want me to counsel you, I'll give you counseling. If y'all want to separate and if you want to try to show that you care about what God's Word teaches and you want to live separately and you want to go through a lot of counseling and you want to begin to find out what God's Word has to say about righteousness and unrighteousness, there may be a day you can get married in the church, but you're not going to get married in the church right now." Now that girl has two parents that are in the church and has two grandparents that are in that church. Now what do you think is happening right now in that church? What do you think is happening in that church right now? That man told that young lady, said, she said, "I'm telling you, we'll get rid of you if we have to, but I'm going to get married in this church. This is my grandparents' church." And he said, "As long as I remain pastor of this church, you will not get married in this church. Not while you're living in fornication." And do you know that's a man of God? You know what he's doing? He's shining in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. He's shining. He's letting his light shine. You know what he's doing? He's doing what Philippians 2:16 says. He's holding forth the word of life. Brethren, the word of God will give life to the people of God. It doesn't cause them to be born again. But if you want the abundant life, it's found in the word of God. The scripture says in James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That brother was trying to save that girl's soul from a hell here on this earth, telling her that she could not be happy living in such an ungodly way. Now, thank God. And I ask you to pray for that man and many other preachers that I know that are trying to stand up for what's right. They're shining light. Every one of those that's a shining light, everybody that stands out, everybody that'll stand against fornication and stand against ungodly living, they do shine, don't they? But now there's a problem with you shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What happens when you shine? When you shine, the world hates you. You make the world uncomfortable. They will say that you are judgmental. They will say that you are narrow-minded. They'll say that you don't know anything about the love of Jesus. And they'll say many other things. But I'm telling you, brethren, the truth of God's word will stand. And you and I have the responsibility to stand up and be the light of the world, not to be blending in with all this ungodliness. I believe that's one of the greatest sins in the church today, is that we are accepting all kinds of ungodliness. People can live in fornication and they can feel comfortable around most any church member. You know why? Because the members of the church are not shining lights. You know that Jesus says this, men love darkness rather than light. You're not going to be loved by the world. You're not going to be loved by the majority of the people. When you hold up the light that God called you to hold up, you're going to be hated. And people will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake. And I'll tell you, you need to rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven. It is important, as we live in this perverse and wicked and crooked nation, it is important that you let your light shine, that you hold up the standard of truth and righteousness. Hold forth the word of life, is what Philippians 2:16 says. That's the way that you can let your light shine. Tell them what God's word has to say. It's not your position. It's not that you personally have anything against them. It's just that God has a standard that we have abandoned in our nation today. And do you know whose responsibility it is for the world to know what the truth is? It is your responsibility and my responsibility. It's not enough for me to stand here and preach in this building about what is right and what is wrong. It is important that wherever I go and whoever I come in contact with and whoever you come in contact with, that you let your light shine right then. Because we live in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, and we're supposed to be shining as lights in the middle of this wicked world, this dark world. Jesus says that. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. He says, and you're very familiar with these scriptures, but in Matthew 5, let me first notice verse 10, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, Jesus says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you know what causes somebody to get persecuted for righteousness' sake? It's when they're telling people what's right when they're not living the right way. That'll cause you to be persecuted. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus, all that will let their light shine, they shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering persecution, it's because you have conformed to the world and the evil and ungodly people of this world. They feel very comfortable around you because you're not going to hurt their feelings. You're not going to do anything to offend them. You'd rather offend God than to offend the people of this world. God will destroy me or you when we stop letting our light shine. How do you know that? Well, he says in the same analogy, he says, not only are you the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. If you've lost your saltiness, if you've stopped letting your light shine, if you've put your light under a bushel lest you offend those who are walking in darkness, if you're not going to talk to them about what they're doing wrong, you are headed for a hell in your life. Because when God brings His judgment on this nation, the people who are going to suffer the most, and judgment will begin in the house of God, those that have been given a knowledge of the truth, those that knew what was right, those who saw the wickedness and the perverseness, but they did not let their light shine, it is upon those individuals that God will pour out the most severe wrath that He pours out when He destroys the United States of America. He says in verse 14, this is Matthew 5, verse 14, He says, ye are the light of the world. He's talking to His disciples. You and I, if we're disciples of Jesus, He's talking to me and you. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me tell you something, brethren. Not only are you personally a light in the world, but whenever you have a body of born-again baptized believers, if that whole church is trying to be individually be lights, then that church becomes as a city that set on a hill. All those lights coming together, they become as a city that set on a hill whose light cannot be hid. Well, how will the world feel towards that body of people? The world will hate that body of people. Why? Because that body of people will not tolerate things that the world will tolerate and that the religions of this world will tolerate. But the church of Jesus Christ will not tolerate those kinds of ungodly ways. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I pray that God will help us tonight to realize that we do live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We live in the kind of nation that's described in Romans chapter 1. We live in a kind of nation that is described as in the latter times and in the last days, these conditions will exist. And the question I would ask you tonight is, are you just sad about this being a dark world? Are you just depressed about this being a crooked and a perverse nation? Or are you going forth, holding forth the word of life, letting your light shine to the honor and glory of God? May God help us to be a light, because there'll be a few of the children of God that when they see the light shining and they see the Spirit of God in your life, there'll be a few of the children of God that will be converted and turned from their ungodly ways. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503.